Hey, welcome to another episode of What She Said. I'm your host, Lucy Lucroft, freelance journalist, blogger, podcaster based in Brighton. In this solo episode, which FYI, it's a little bit scary, so bear with me. It's the first one I've ever done aside from the Podmas episodes. I want to tell you how much I love Pinterest, why it's important for your blog or business, and how simple it is to use. A quick reminder to subscribe to the show so that you don't miss any episodes, and to rate and review it too if the mood takes you. Every week I share my review of the week, and here's the first. This week's review of the week comes from Jay Stobbs, who I think I can say with some authority is Jenna Stobbs, and it's the title is Gem of a Podcast, 5 stars. She says, I love the honesty that comes from Lucy. I feel like she's being totally genuine in every episode. I'm also kind of glad that I was late to the party because now I get to go back over previous episodes when long-time listeners have to wait for next week. Blows raspberry. Thank you so, so much, Jenna. That is such a lovely, lovely review. And these reviews actually really, really help. It's not just for my ego. So if you do want to rate and review, I think you can only do it via iTunes. And I've had some difficulty doing it any other way apart from on my laptop. But they make a massive difference. Okay, so back to today's topic, which is Pinterest. Let's talk about Pinterest, shall we? Okay, I'll talk, you listen. So firstly, what is it? Well, it's a search engine. Same as Google, Bing, whatever, it's a search engine. And I think that's probably one of the first misconceptions that people who only use Pinterest to like pin home decor or just kind of personal stuff know they should be using it, but don't really understand why. Sometimes people refer to it as a social media platform. It definitely isn't, although it shares some similarities in terms of having followers, and you can repin, which is similar to retweet, but it's a search engine. But what makes it super special are two things. Well, there's probably loads more, but two things that I can think of. One, it's visual and it's super fun to use. Pinterest is made, it's a search engine full of pins. A pin is, I'm really sorry if I'm teaching you to suck eggs here, but a pin is basically an image with text overlay that links to something. And the second thing that makes it really special is that there are a load less users than with Google. What that means, well, I guess quite a few different things. You can apply similar SEO rules as you would when optimizing your blog posts. If you don't know what SEO is, it's search engine optimization. And it's something that everyone is probably doing kind of intuitively for their blog already, but there are certain ways that you can almost upskill with your SEO to make sure that you rank for Google. And how I always word it is that you want to remove the invisibility cloak from your blog so that Google is seeing your blog. But that's what SEO is, traditional SEO for Google, for Bing, for all the other search engines. However, of course, Pinterest is a search engine, so you can also apply those similar rules. It also means that there's an algorithm at play with Pinterest, albeit one that's not nearly as heinous as Google's algorithm. So I suppose it's a double-edged sword in terms of you can apply similar SEO rules to Pinterest as you would with your blog when optimizing for Google. And yes, there's also an element of shady algorithm stuff. But the difference with Pinterest is that, like I said, there are a lot less users. It's so much more simple than using Google Keyword Planner, which now actually Keyword Planner is not free for every single person to use, which is very frustrating. I think it's free for the majority of people to use, but I've found anecdotally with my students that not everyone is able to create a free Keyword Planner tool account. If you don't know what that is, just ignore that. But anyway, when you're doing keyword research, which is basically when you are looking at what people are searching for, literally the string of words that they're using, that they're typing into a search engine to get a blog post, It's much simpler in Pinterest, much, much simpler. And most importantly, because Pinterest is a search engine, people are searching for stuff. They're searching for information, albeit in a completely different kind of manner than with Google, because they're looking for, you know, beautiful images and they are looking for information. It means that you can use it to drive traffic to your blog, which is why bloggers love it. Traditionally, food bloggers and craft bloggers and home and kind of DIY bloggers have dominated Pinterest, and they were the ones that first noticed how great it is. So that's why when you go to Pinterest to look for a recipe, there are absolutely gazillions on there. Pinterest is good for every single niche. It is good for every single niche, fact. Just 100%. Because the more niche your blog is, the less users you need anyway. So I've been using Pinterest for about 5 years now, which feels pretty OG, although it definitely isn't. There are people who've been using it seriously for a lot longer than I have. But there are still so many people not utilizing Pinterest to its full effect. I sometimes feel like I'm an early adopter, which I literally am never an early adopter of anything. Well, I kind of early adopt it and then I don't do it properly. I don't do it very well until after I've seen everybody else doing it well. I'm too scared to jump in there and try. But it's such a great way to drive traffic without the effort that's required for especially going over old posts and optimizing them for search engines or social media, trying to game the Facebook algorithm, having to create your best content for Instagram and get it seen by people, creating video content. All of these things are really, they're quite laborious. Pinterest isn't. And I mean, you know, I love it. If you're the sort of person that's like, oh, I hate Pinterest, then switch off now and definitely don't add it to your blog strategy plan because it's not worth it. But if you are even remotely interested in using Pinterest, then please stay listening and please know that by the end of this episode, you will know the main things that you need to do or start looking into to utilize Pinterest for your blog. So I'm going to share 3 Pinterest tips now, but if you need help to get your head around Pinterest, then I really recommend just buying my course. I've also got a free challenge. So it's like 3 days long. You just get a series of emails with actionable tasks and a bit of homework. And really it's, and then I will offer you the course as well, which you are under no obligation to buy. But so if you want either of those things, you can go to lucylucroft.com/links and you'll find links to both of those, the course and the free challenge on that page. Or you can, if you just want to buy the course for £79, just go to lucylucroft.com/courses. Or you can click the link in the show notes because they'll both be there. Okay, so let's talk about my 3 tips. Number 1, group boards and tribes. First of all, apologies for the inappropriate use of the word tribes, but that is what they're called. So on your profile, on your Pinterest profile, you create boards where you pin your own stuff as well as pin other people's. It's kind of literally like having a heap of categorized mood boards, I guess. But where you'll really fly and where you'll really see your traffic grow and your Pinterest profile grow is when you start using group boards and tribes. Group boards are basically collaborative boards run by one or a few people where lots of folk can join and start pinning their stuff. When you start pinning your pins to a group board, you increase your reach immediately. So, for example, there might be 10 pinners also collaborating. Each one of those pinners, or maybe a handful of those pinners, will repin your pins to their boards where their followers will see them, so on and so forth. Tribes are similar, except you have to share people's stuff. The way it works is literally on a one-to-one basis. You pin something to your tribe and you will have to pin somebody else's. So you can pin that. Everything has different rules, and they'll all be specified. Same with group boards. But whereas group boards were really, like, not so many of them say you have to share on a one-to-one basis, as in share your own and then pin somebody else's. Tribes, that is the whole point of them. It's very much, I suppose it's a bit like for like, or comment pods, but sort of less icky, because to join a tribe, you have to request to join, and you're only going to be joining a tribe that relates to your niche. And the group admins will only accept you if you adhere to their rules and all of those sorts of things. So it's a little bit different, but I guess it's the same theory. And Pinterest encouraged this. You won't get shadow banned. So tribes work, yes, by sharing your pins to the tribe that you're a part of. And they tend to be smaller, more niche. And you obviously pin other people's. So, and you can also direct message, and it's kind of more of a community than a group board. It's probably a bit more like a Facebook group, although I haven't had any chat really in a tribe. But I'm part of 5, and they're all quite big. Most of my recent viral pins have come through pinning to tribes, and it happens really quickly. I had a pin the other day that was retweeted, I think, about 1,200 times, and I was looking for where it had all started, and it was one that I'd pinned to a tribe, I think about 10 people, maybe less than 10, not very many, within the tribe had repinned, and then it had just gone wild because their followers had picked it up, and etc, etc. So tribes are amazing. Second tip is lead magnets and email lists. So I've long been a fan of building an email list. Probably accidentally, I built my email list very early on. So because of that, I am a big fan of other people doing the same. And I'm so happy that I did it, because sometimes it feels really overwhelming. And now it feels like everybody's talking about email lists. And I think the more noise there is, the harder it is to navigate what you should and shouldn't be doing. But anyway, so I feel very lucky that I kind of was able to make my own mistakes. Anyway, on Pinterest, people really love practical stuff, freebies, how-tos, all of those sorts of things. So utilizing lead magnets to drive people to a landing page on your blog where you can then convert them to an email subscriber is such a winning formula. I'm not amazing at creating dreamy lead magnets, to be honest. However, I managed to grow my email list to about 3,000 in a year, mostly through lead magnets. And it was things like packing lists, checklists, printable PDFs, that kind of thing. And you can get really creative with it. And what I'd really encourage you to do is just have a search on Pinterest and see what's on there, just by literally typing into the search bar, I don't know, something relating to your niche say your niche is zero waste, ultimate zero waste checklist, things like that, or 10 bulk stores in London, those kind of things. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about when I say lead magnet is literally just a something that will entice people to your email list, and they can only get it when they sign up. So it's a bit like getting 10% off in a store when you sign up to their newsletter. That's essentially a lead magnet. My last tip, and this is probably where Pinterest gets really exciting for me, automation. So whereas with Instagram, yes, you can schedule posts, sort of, and Twitter and Facebook, whatever, you can schedule your blog posts, blah, 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 blah. Scheduling isn't really automation. And actually, even when I talk about automating, technically it's not automation, it's scheduling. However, it's on such a big scale that I consider it as dreamy as automation. So Pinterest is something that you can genuinely do it in your sleep. So I spend about an hour on Pinterest a month, and it probably drives around, I think the last time I checked it, it was driving around 8,000 page views a month. and I've been getting around 200 new email subscribers each month too, which really, that you might be hearing these numbers and being like, oh wow, that's tiny, but consider that my blog is tiny. In total, I get less than 20k views now, so yeah, 8,000 is a lot. That's almost half. The rest of my views come from organic, just from Google, which is what you'd expect. But for some people, it's completely the other way. And they get the majority of their views through Pinterest. And that's not a bad thing. Pinterest is another search engine. It means that you don't have to spend hours creating lots and lots of blog posts. Because, you know, I think sometimes we can feel like we need to create at least a blog post every week to maintain the traffic that we want, which kind of is how it works with Google. But with Pinterest, you don't have to spend hours creating loads of blog posts. You can actually focus on creating quality content and then use Pinterest to promote it over and over and over again. And there are so many different tools that you can use to do this. I use Tailwind, it's amazing. And the link to get a free month on Tailwind is in my bio. FYI, if you do sign up for a paid version, it's an affiliate link, which means that I get a bit of money off my Tailwind subscription. But there are other tools, I think Hootsuite and Buffer, you can also schedule to Pinterest, but I really recommend Tailwind because you can do very specific things, really clever things. They've got their own analytics. I do things like, it's called looping, where you just literally, so for my evergreen content, and you can set up different types of loops, you can set up seasonal loops as well, but I don't really do that. I don't have a lot of seasonal content, but for my evergreen core content, I have a bulk of my sort of best blog posts that are just constantly pinning on a loop with a gap. So over 6 months, they'll just be rotating through the specific boards that I ask it to pin to, which just keeps those blog posts fresh, and I can drop in new pins whenever I want, which, you know, keeps it fresh and you don't have the same pin constantly out there. So that's it. My three tips for Pinterest and why you should be using it. I really hope I've convinced you to jump on board and start using it. If you want some extra help, my free challenge, it's 3 days. It's really good. It's really simple. It'll just help you get a bit more stuck into it. And there is a video tutorial of how to use Tailwind, I think, on day 3. And if you want to just dive in and buy the course, it is, I should have all the information here, but I don't. It's a self-paced course. It's £79, or you can pay in 3 instalments, or you can nab a pay what you can spot. I cover everything from optimizing your profile, looking at branding for your Pinterest profile, finding your ideal audience, keyword research. There's a heap of video tutorials, designing beautiful pins, the anatomy of a viral pin, how to put your pins into your blog post. There's some technical stuff in there too, and I had great feedback from my beta testers. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's my first solo episode, so it's a bit scary, and I'm really sorry if you feel like it was a big old sales pitch. I don't expect you to go and buy the course at all. I just really wanted to talk about Pinterest. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoy the new format, but next week I'll be back with another interview, so that's exciting. Please let me know either way if you loved it, hated it, by tweeting me, dropping me an Instagram DM. I'm Lucy Lucroft on both. See you next week.